there was quite a long time after I was ordained that I really enjoyed making whole wheat bread. But the first time I tried to bake bread, you know, I got the flour around and had the yeast. And I'd read the yeast pattern in the package that said, you know, dissolve in warm water. And I thought to myself, I wonder what that means. Warm. That must mean not boil. So I turned on the faucet, got as hot as the faucet could get it, and then I poured the yeast in. Well, you can guess what happened. I just had a lump of dough. It didn't raise. And so I called one of the ladies in the parish and I said, Marilyn, what did I do wrong? And she said, well, what did you do? And I told her, and she said, ah, you killed the yeast. You got it too hot. Well, I learned from that 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 little package of yeast is pretty powerful. It will transform a whole lump of dough. I'm going to go away from that image now for a minute. I'll come back to it. But go to the other two parables in the reading today. They're about seed. Now that follows a parable we had last week, which is also about seed. So remember, last week's parable was about the seed that was sown, some on rocky soil, some on the footpath, some on good soil, and it produced fruit abundantly where it was on the good soil. Well, today it's that first one is about the wheat that was planted, the good seed, and then the enemy who comes along and plants the wheat in the midst of the wheat. Now, how do we understand that? Well, I think we can look at it in a couple of ways, and there's probably many more ways to look at it, but the first way I'd like to look at it is kind of what Jesus said. The wheat is what is planted in the field of the world. It is the good seed, the word that the Son of God has left to us. Not just his spoken word, but his whole life, his whole example. And then the weeds are what the devil has sown in the world. The things we know so well. Selfishness, pride, jealousy, envy, resentment, hatred, greed, lust, all of those things. That is the weed that the devil has sown among us. And the things that are very common. We know about that, those weeds that are in the field of the church. Now the second way to look at it, I think, is similar but more personal. And that is, for in each of us, God has sown good seed. It's a seed that was sown in us through baptism, confirmation, through Eucharist, through our reading of the Scriptures, through our study of the Catechism, the beliefs of the Church. That is the good seed that the Lord Jesus Christ has planted in our hearts. But there's also the bad seed, which the evil one has planted within us. It's the same thing. It's the heat, it's the jealousy, the resentment, the envy, the greed, the lust, the anger. Those are the things that are also in our hearts. And we struggle with those day in and day out. And for each of us, the thing we struggle with is probably different. But we all have our own unique temptations. Those things that are difficult for us to overcome. And yet, that's the challenge of our lives. Can we resist those weeds that have been planted within us? And can we allow the good things, the good seed that the Lord Jesus Christ has given to us? Can we allow that to grow? Can we allow it to bear fruit? And we saw a lot of the bad seed that is planted in the world and in the church in recent years with the sexual abuse scandals. That was one of those times when, you know, the work of the devil was so prominent in the field of the church. And what happened to a lot of people in that was they simply said, if that's the way it is, I'm getting out of here. And so they separated themselves from the church. And yet, the Lord Jesus promised us that we were going to encounter things like that. And of course, it's always worse when it comes out of the leadership. And yet, like everybody else, the leadership struggles with the evil seeds that have been planted in their life. Now, why God has chosen that the good and the evil should grow together, we're not sure. We can only speculate. But you know, God could just grab the evil and get rid of it. But he chooses not to do that. I think one reason he chooses to do that is he wants everybody, no matter what evil they have done, to have the opportunity to repent. So God is patient with us. He wants us to have that time to turn our lives around. And the other one I think is maybe more subtle, but very important, is that when we see evil, that often challenges us to do the opposite. And that our growth in holiness is very often in response to the evil we see. We say to ourselves, I don't want to be that way. That's not the kind of life I want to live. And so then we get more intense and more serious about growing in holiness. There was an interesting phenomenon right after the three scandals that broke out, I don't know, 10 years ago or so. And that was in our seminary. There was a sudden increase of young men enrolling in the seminary. You would have expected the opposite. But for some reason, a lot of young men were saying, we're going to be priests, and we're going to do it differently. Somehow, their response to that crisis was a positive one of their determination to live their lives differently. That's kind of what I'm trying to say. Sometimes we can respond to the evil we see by strengthening our determination not to get caught in it, but to let that good seed bear fruit in our lives. I want to go back to those last two parables, the mustard seed and the yeast. I think both of those are signs or symbols of hope, especially when we see the evil that really does exist all around us. You know, the mustard seed was very small. As I learned, that packet of yeast, I know Jesus didn't have yeast in packets back then, but that packet of yeast is very tiny. But the mustard seed becomes a large bush. And there's some imagery in that, what Jesus uses there. Because in biblical terms, sometimes Israel was seen as a tree in which the birds of the air become roosts. Well, that was the symbolic of all the nations finally coming to the gospel, Jesus is saying. Someday that mustard seed he's planted will become so large that all the nations will come and find refuge in his teaching. And you know how yeast transforms the dough. It's very powerful in making that dough rise. And so what it does to us is challenges us. What is the good we see? Even though sometimes that good may seem small, if we can allow that good to grow, if we can promote the good, if we can encourage the good, if we can look at the good in ourselves and somehow say, I'm going to let that grow, I'm going to work with that. What it can do to transform the world in which we live. That's what we're called to as Christians. It's to take the good seed that has been given us. And even though sometimes it may seem insignificant, we may often find ourselves feeling powerless. in face of the evil that is around us, can we take that good seed and let it grow? Think back to the people that founded this parish. Don't know who they were exactly, but the good they did has borne a lot of fruit. Think of the people over the years, over the generations, that have come to faith in Christ Jesus because of what was done by those early settlers in this area. How they planted the faith and allowed that faith to grow. Think back to your own family and your own personal faith journey. Probably most of us owe that to our parents. Some of us maybe to our grandparents. Others it might have been some very significant person that touched our life and faith began to grow in us. What little bit they had to offer has blossomed in our lives. And that's what we're called to do. To let that little good blossom and bear fruit. On a global scale, think about Mother Teresa. Think about how Mother Teresa went out one day in Calcutta into the slum and saw a dying person. She picked up that person, brought him or her to her home, cleaned them up, and cared for them until they died. That little act of goodness has blossomed into the order of sisters that she founded, having spread through much of the whole world. And they are continuing to do the things she did, taking care of the poor and the dying, giving them dignity and respect at the end of their lives, even though they may not have had much of that through their lifetime. Think about John Paul II. How he and Ronald Reagan and Margaret Thatcher together brought down the Soviet Union. The little good that they were doing has had tremendous impact on our world. And that's what you and I are called to. We may not ever have that grand of impact on the world, but can we look for the good around us and the good within us if we let that blossom? Now, in order for that to happen, the first thing that has to happen is we have to let the good in us transform us. See, you and I are meant to be leavens. We are meant to be the yeast of this world. We Christians. We are to live in such a way that the world is transformed and brought to Christ Jesus. But the only way that happens is if I first let that good seed planted in my heart transform me. And then, as I am transformed, then I can go out and transform the world. And that's what each of us is called to do. Each of us in our own little way. But if we can transform the world around us, and all of us begin to do that, the world will be changed. The world will be renewed. And we're called to that. And so today I just invite each of us to look at the good that's been planted in our hearts, planted in the world around us. Let that good blossom and grow so that through us, the world can be transformed.